The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, Father, God has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to him, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." So they said to him, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and so once again, good evening, brothers and sisters. Welcome, welcome back once again, everybody. I got a little story for you here this evening, right? Start you off with a story, because everybody likes a story. Okay. Here's a story of a stay-at-home dad who was working on a speech that he had to give. And if you ever had to give a speech before, stand in front of a big crowd and make a presentation, you know how much work it takes, and you know how much concentration it takes to get the job done. Okay, so he's working at home, he's trying to get ready for this speech, he's sitting in his office, suddenly there's a knock at the door. And it's his wife at the door. And she said, "I gotta go run a couple of errands. Can you please watch over the kids?" And he thinks to himself, "Okay, I'll do my best. But I don't know how I'm going to watch over the kids and also get my work done." But, you know, he goes back to work and working on his speech. 5 minutes later, there's another knock at the door. It's his 7-year-old son. Says to him, without any hesitation whatsoever, "Dad, I'm bored." Father thinks to himself, "Okay, I got to do something to keep this kid's mind occupied or I'll never get anything done." So he picks up a magazine, starts thumbing through the magazine, and he comes across this brightly colored great big map of the world. And he gets this idea. He says, I got an idea. He says, "Son, how'd you like to earn 20 bucks? And he walks out into the living room and he takes the page out of the magazine and he rips it up into 100 pieces and he drops the pieces all over the floor. And he says, "Tell you what, son, if you can put back together that picture of the world, and if you don't interrupt me until you're done, I'll give you 20 bucks." The kid is thrilled. Dad figures he's at least purchased some time because, you know, 7-year-old kid, he couldn't possibly know what a map of the world looks like. So he goes back to work on his speech. 5 minutes later, another knock at the door. There's the 7-year-old kid holding in his hands and proudly displaying a great, big, bright, fully colored, perfectly reassembled map of the world ready for publication in National Geographic. Right. Dumbfounded dad looks back at the kid and says, "How did you figure that out so fast?" Kid says, "Well, I just discovered that on the backside of all these pictures, there's a great big picture of a man. So I turned all the pieces over and I worked on reassembling the picture of the man, because I figured to myself, if I can just get the man right, I'll get the whole world right. And that, brothers and sisters, is your little message for the week. If you just get the man right, you're going to get the whole world right. Because tell me if this isn't the case. Isn't it true that our world is in pieces? Right? Figuratively speaking. It's in pieces. And I mean fractally so. Everything's in pieces. Wherever you look. You look at the state of the family, it's in pieces. You look at the state of the church, you don't need me to tell you. It's in pieces. You look at the state of the government, politics, pieces, right? Everything you wear, every place you look, you talk about relations between men and women, you talk about relations between black and white, everywhere you look, everything's in pieces. And you want to know what's worst about all this? It's that the people who are putting the pieces back together have no idea what the big picture is supposed to look like. But this isn't going to be a rant here this evening. No, not at all. Because you could talk about the government being in pieces. You can talk about the media being in pieces. You can talk about matrimony being in pieces. But if you're honest, you'll take a look at your own life and you realize that you're the one who's in pieces. And that the only thing in this world you have any hope of controlling is yourself. So let's start right there, shall we? The message of the boy who put the broken pieces back together, that's the message for you and for me as well. Doesn't matter what there is in this world or what there is in your life that's broken and shattered in pieces, on the back side of those broken pieces is the image of a man. The man is Jesus Christ. Look to him. Because if you get him right, everything else will fall in place. In the gospel, we picked up where we left off last week. Anybody remember where we left off last week? I'll jog your memory, okay? Where we left off last week was the story of the loaves and the fishes. And Jesus had just fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children, with 5 barley loaves and a pair of dried fish. And there were 12 wicker baskets of food left over. And the people were amazed and they wanted to make Jesus the king. You want to know something? You can't make Jesus the king. Jesus is already the king. Jesus doesn't want any kind of worldly kingdom they could possibly misunderstand and dream up for them. So Jesus goes running away and the people go following after Jesus. And here's where our gospel today picks up. It's the only place in the whole gospel where Jesus ever reprimands anybody for following him. And he says, "You guys are following me for all the wrong reasons. You're following me because you got a free meal. And now you want another. If only you knew that I want to give you food, if I want to feed you at a level so much deeper than you're aware, that's what you'd be asking me for." People don't understand what he means. But you want to know what's interesting? The people here in the gospel, they're just like us. You know, they got a free meal, and then they got hungry again, and now they want another free meal. And you know, it's just the exact same way with us. We go to God, we ask for something, we get it, and then suddenly we're in need again. We turn back to God, and we ask for something again. And our Lord's message to the people here, it's his message to you. If only you knew that I want to feed you at a level so much deeper, that's what you'd be seeking after. You ever thought about this? Have you ever thought that, you know, it's like when you eat a meal, right, and you eat them and you're full for a moment, and you get hungry and you have to go get something else to eat. And this is how people approach God. Don't they approach God with all their broken pieces in life, right? And they're like, you know, God, I got all these broken pieces and I need you to put them back together again. So if you would please fix my marriage, fix my relationship, fix my broken finances, fix my broken self-esteem, fix my broken health. Lord, you fix it. And then we're fine for a while until suddenly we need God to fix something else and we're right back at him again. You hear about the wildfires in California? Everybody, you heard about the news of the wildfires in California? A guy I know, his sister was in the path of the wildfires. And he says, would you please pray for my sister? Her home is right in the path of the wildfires. And just the other day, the police show up at her house, they knock on her door, and they say, we're evacuating your neighborhood. You've got to get out. She says, how much time do I have? The police say, you got 20 minutes. He says, 20 minutes? Yeah, 20 minutes, and you got to go. So she did the best she could. She grabbed all the possessions she could fit in her car in 20 minutes and drove away. And the man said, would you please pray for my sister? Because if the wind blows to the north, her home will be saved. But if the wind blows to the south, her home will be destroyed. And everybody prayed, right? And just to get you, to ease the suspense, the wind blew to the north, okay? And it went into a woodland area and spared her house. But I mean, what kind of anxiety when you and all of your belongings and everything you own is hanging in the balance by something as precarious and as fickle as the direction of the wind. And you turn to God in prayer. It's almost like you're starving. You're like, God, come and help me, right? Feed my emptiness. But if you could know what our Lord wants to tell us, you'd understand the secret of the saints. They knew that in God's designs and in God's providences, you know, sometimes the wind will blow to the north and sometimes the wind will blow to the south. But no matter what direction the wind blows, the same Lord is always with you. You want to know what gives peace and consolation no matter what. It's not what God can give. It's the fact that no matter where you are, no matter what you do, you are in His hands. And He's not just going to drop you. The consolation of peace that's a secret of the saints is the knowledge of God's presence. This is why Jesus says, whoever comes to me won't ever hunger. Whoever believes in me, they won't ever thirst. That's the secret of the saints, my goodness. And it's like they were just as equally at peace, the saints were, if they were rich or poor, if they were sick or healthy, if they were famous or if they were obscure, if they were praised or they were condemned, they were at peace because their peace wasn't based on something out of their control. It was based on God's presence. And that's what God wants you to have too. Question for you here this evening. Is that easy to do? Is it easy to have faith like that? No. No, it's easy when everything's going well, but man, when things are going hard, it's really hard. And you know what? That's what our Lord meant when He said, this is the work of God. Believe in the one He sent. Did you catch that? Believing is work. It's not supposed to be easy. We think it's supposed to be easy, don't we? I mean, don't we have this unvoiced assumption in our minds that if I do what God wants, God will do what I want? I mean, look at you. God bless you. You're all in church. But isn't it also often the case, and we don't think this consciously, right? But in the back of our minds, we think, you know, I say my prayers. I go to church. Now, God, you got to repay your half of the bargain. God doesn't work like that. He never told us it'd be easy. In fact, He told His apostles the exact opposite, didn't He? He said, you will have trouble in this world. He promised it. Where does the peace come from? It comes from the knowledge of His presence. And this is why all across the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, anytime God tells somebody to do some difficult work, they're worried, they're fretful, and God says, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Now, the reason why He says all this today is because for the next 3 weeks, He's going to talk about how He's with us. He's going to begin what's called the Bread of Life Discourse. You want to know how the Lord is with us? That's how. The Blessed Sacrament. He's actually here. He's the new manna. We'd heard in the Old Testament about the manna that fed the people as they made their way through the desert to the Promised Land. Well, Jesus, He wants people to know He's the new manna. As we make our way through the desert of life to the real Promised Land of heaven, He's going to be our food, and He's actually going to be here. Now, this is really important. We're going to make this clear over the next few weeks. This isn't just a symbol. This isn't just a memorial. It's actually Jesus Himself. You ever heard of Flannery O'Connor? famous Catholic author, died back in the 60s. Anyway, Flannery O'Connor, she was at a very polite dinner party once. And going around the dinner party, they did something that nobody at a dinner party should ever do. They started talking about religion. And the subject of the Blessed Sacrament came up. And naturally, it tried to be polite. And one woman, she said, "I really think the Blessed Sacrament is wonderful. I think it's a great symbol of Jesus. And as far as symbols go, I think it's a really good one." And Flannery O'Connor said, "Well, if it's just a symbol, I say, the hell with it." Everybody double T, yeah, that's right. "If it's just a symbol, I say, the hell with it. Because if it's just a piece of bread, what good does that do you? Not much good. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, if it's Jesus himself, you will never leave the Catholic Church. Because where else are you going to go? This is my greatest consolation in life. Can I share this with you? My greatest consolation in life happens right here at this altar. When I am saying that, I hold up the host. Now, right there for that minute, I know that no matter what's going on in my life, that he's with me. I find incredible consolation. You can have that same consolation. The priest holds up the host. Could be me, could be Father Peter, could be whoever's here. Holds up the host. You want to think at that moment, Jesus is with me. And when he's with you, you'll be at peace no matter what. That is what our Lord is going to talk about in the weeks to come. The presence that satisfies the deepest hunger. If you focus on the man, brothers and sisters, all the pieces in life will fall into place. No matter how broken our world is, or how broken it gets, please never lose heart and never forget that. Set your hope on him, and you'll never hope in vain. Amen.